Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
It is, and welcome to these Daily Defense studios. Pleasure to be here with you today, as usual, every day of the week. The emails have been pouring in. You've got so much to say, and I wish I had more time. I really, truly do. I could easily do a couple, 3 hours a day with you. I have a great guest lined up for you today. I'm going to go to my guest in just a couple of moments. A couple of things I want to tell you about before we do. I want to read an email to get started that I got the other day, and the timing of it was perfect. Sometimes weird things like that just happen, and we'll get his commentary on it as well, my guest, and that will be Paul Markle from Student of the Gun. But it's not always about the gun all the time, is it? Sometimes maybe we can't carry a gun, or maybe some people don't like to carry a gun. That's okay. If you don't want to carry a gun, I don't want you to carry a gun. I'm not going to call you names. Some people don't want to carry a gun, but they still have a right to defend themselves, the right to bear arms, not the right to bear guns, the right to bear arms. We focus on the gun here, of course. But knives. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. Knives scare the crap out of me. I've told you that before. I'd much rather be shot than cut. Got it? Knives scare the crap out of me. The offensive use of a knife, scares me to death. So I got an email the other day, yesterday, that I was just happened to be thinking about a good friend of mine out on the West Coast. This email came in. It's perfect timing. Take a listen to this. Hi, Mark. This is probably not really your thing, in quotes, but just wondering if you might have a suggestion for a good defensive carry knife. I carry my G43, that's a Glock 43, single stack, 9mm, every day, but thought that some sort of backup might not be a bad idea as well. He says that with a smile face. I'm sure no Rambo, so something not too large or too expensive would be perfect. If you don't have any thoughts on this, that's perfectly okay, too. Oh, do I ever have thoughts on this? I carry a knife with me everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, and you should, too. And let me tell you what I have. I carry a CQC-10 Emerson knife. I carry a CQC-7, or I carry a Roadhouse. I have three beautiful Emerson knives. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the previous conversation I just had a few moments before going on the airways, and that email comes from Tom. Tom, I appreciate the email very much. The timing of it was just kind of uncanny because the Blade Show is getting ready to happen not too far from these Armed American Radio Crossbreed Holster and Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studios in the first weekend in June, as it is every year. This is the nation's biggest Blade Show. It's the SHOT Show for knives, all things blade related. And I get to see a lot of good friends who come into town and converge on the city that week in Atlanta. It's held at the Waverly. If you're in Georgia, in any of the affiliates, if you're listening and you're in the area at all, and let's face it, Atlanta's gotten so big, it's quite frankly everywhere in the state's a suburb of the place, for crying out loud. But come on up to the Waverly Convention Center where the Blade Show is, meet some really cool people. So after I got this email, it was interesting. It just prompted me to make the phone call I had been putting off for the last few days. So I called Tom Ernest Emerson to read him your email. So your email was a great excuse and a reminder for me to call him and talk to him about the upcoming Blade Show and bringing him back to the program and all that fun stuff. And I asked him on your behalf. Now, of course, I bought my knives directly from Ernie. And I told him, you know what I have. I have the CQC-10, I have the CQC-7, and I have the Roadhouse. How would you answer this email, and what would you suggest to the writer? And Ernie's response to me was, oh, Mark, it's so... He said, first off, I would say the CQC, says you have the 10, the 7, and the Roadhouse. He said the CQC-7 is the single most recognized tactical folder in use anywhere in the world today by Emerson Knives. And he's absolutely right about that. And he said both that or the Roadhouse would be ideal choices for carry as a backup, either of them. And that's coming from the man who designs them and builds them and sells them. Let me tell you a little bit about the CQC-7. That knife, I can promise you, was on the person, on the persons who breached bin Laden's compound and blew him away. I can promise you the CQC-7 was on board those helicopters. That's who carries these knives. And I use it for everything. Household chores, everything. And I beat them up, and they take a beating. Believe me, they take a beating. Now, price-wise, on these Emersons, and Ernie is recommending to you the CQC-7 or the Roadhouse personally himself. They are not the cheapest knives out there. I will tell you, they're going to run you a couple $100. But let me tell you something. We all know a $10 sweater is stitched better than a $5 sweater. If you have to save up a little bit to pick up the Emerson CQC-7 or the Roadhouse, or for that matter, just head over to EmersonKnives.com and take a pick. They're all fantastic, whichever one you want. I can personally recommend these because I have all three of them and I carry all three of them. I rotate them out. Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm partial to the 10, frankly, the CQC-10. Maybe that's just because of the grip. It fits my hand. It's just perfect for me. I love it. Works for me. They're all good. They're all good. Everybody says, wow, what is that? Where'd you get that? But if you have to save up a little bit to buy that knife, if it takes you a couple months longer than just going out and buying a less expensive knife that's going to fall apart if you put the knife through some use, which you will once you have it, it is well worth it. Believe me, the thing will last you a lifetime, and you will be carrying the same tools that our spec ops men and women heroes are carrying on their person as well. That much I can promise you. So check that out. And I appreciate the email very much because I had been meaning to get with Ernie Emerson, and I can't wait to bring him back to the show. We will be scheduling him tomorrow for an upcoming Monster broadcast. Ernest Emerson, the great Ernest Emerson, blade master, hand-to-hand expert, and master of his craft, widely regarded as the single greatest knife maker ever. Lots of fun. So thanks for that email. I hope you learned something from that. Knives scare the crap out of me. If you find yourself in a knife fight and you're using a blade for defensive purposes, boy, I'll tell you what, you are not where you need to be. You are not where you want to be. And if that happens, you want the best you can get because that means up close, personal, intimate. And it's a very, very dangerous situation. If you've ever heard me talk with Ernest Emerson on the program, you know that. I won't take his thunder. I'll bring him back to the show and just kind of tease it and leave it at that. But he will tell you everything you need to know about knife fights. My guest, Paul Markle, student of the gun. Let's talk a little bit about knives, shall we? Paul, how you doing today?
You want to talk about knives? I can talk about knives.
Knives scare me. Now, I carry one with me on a regular basis, and boy, I'll tell you, that's a last resort I never want to have to go to. Paul, I would much rather be shot than stabbed. If you're in a knife fight, knife means life, okay? It's life or death, and it is up close and personal. Take it away.
Well, you'd much rather be shot by a handgun than be stabbed, because let me tell you what, brother, if you get shot with a rifle, chances of you surviving are going to be pretty slim. But that being said, what you should do, seriously, I'm not even joking, is get into a training class, and there's a fantastic class. Are you familiar with TDI Ohio, Tactical Defense Institute in Ohio? Dave Spaulding and Greg Elishwitz. I bought 12 years ago. They had basically what they called an extreme close quarters fighting class, and it was I don't think we took a shot beyond 7 yards, and most of it was even closer. And another thing that we did was we did up close and personal knife work. And a lot of folks out there, I believe that they see a knife or they consider a knife for personal defense, and they think that you have to be Dan Inosanto or Bruce Lee, or you have to be Ernie Emerson to use a knife effectively in personal defense.
That's not true. That's not true. It's not true, and you're right. And I want people to understand that a lot of people have a fear of training with the knife, like they do with seeking professional training from somebody like you or from somebody like Pincus or from any qualified, what they would call big time instructor, because they're intimidated by that because they think that way. And I want to make that clear. Anybody can do this. Go ahead. We've got about 30 seconds.
Yeah. No, seriously, when I came away from that class, the TDI class, really feeling very, very confident to use a bladed weapon in close personal proximity and understanding. And it, we as Americans have a tendency to make things more complicated than they really need to be. And I think that was probably the greatest thing that I got out of that class was it doesn't, you don't have to be a 10th Dan in some forgotten martial art from Indonesia to be able to use a knife to save your own life, to make someone get off of me. And that's right. A lot of the techniques are essentially the get off of me technique.
When you throw your arm up, okay, to block incoming blows from a knife, you're going to get cut. And I'll tell you what Ernie Emerson said on this program one time a couple years back that has stuck with me ever since he has said it. I want to impart that wisdom to you right when we come back with Paul Markle, student of the gun, right after this. Don't go away.
Folks, by now you know I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. And you also know they love to give away guns to responsibly armed Americans just like you. Now, this is why last month the USCCA bought 10 of my listeners a brand new Kimber. Now, this month, they want you to pick any gun you want. So they're giving you 10 chances to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams. Which gun is at the top of your bucket list? A brand new AR-15? A custom 1911? Think hard, because any gun you've been dreaming about could be yours, thanks to my friends over at the USCCA. Just visit defendthem.com to enter for free today, and there's absolutely no restrictions. You can pick up any gun, any brand, and any caliber you want. Your entry to win $1,500 for a brand new gun is quick, simple, and free. Don't miss out on your best chance to take home the gun of your dreams. Just go to defendthem.com right now to get your name on the entry list. That's defendthem.com.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win 1 of 4 guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime, but we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate, crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Continuing with student of the gun founder, Paul Markle, who wrap up the conversation about knives, prompted by the email that I got from Tom, who, Tom, again, thank you very, very much. I appreciate that email because it prompted me to do some things I had been thinking about. So the timing of it, the incoming email, was uncanny, and I do appreciate it. And it affords us the opportunity to talk about something we don't normally talk about, and that's the defensive use of a knife and the fact that that should be part of your EDC, your everyday carry. That should be one of your tools that you should have with you for a lot of different reasons. They just flat out come in very, very handy, no matter who you are or what you do for a living. And guess what? Should you ever find yourself in a defensive situation and not have access to your firearm for whatever reason, and we could spend the entire hour talking about how that could happen, but we won't. We'll just say if you ever find yourself in a situation where you have lost access to your firearm or don't have access to your firearm for whatever reason, including being wounded, a knife is a great alternative that can save your life literally as a last resort. So, and believe me, if somebody's coming at you with one on not defensive, if someone's attacking you, if that knife is being used against you, boy, you're going to have to react quickly. The odds are that individual knows how to use it. Paul Markle, welcome back. Here's what Ernie Emerson said to me, and I'll get your thoughts on that. We'll move on to another topic. But he said to me, when you're involved in a knife fight, Mark, he said, if it comes to that, he said, you'll feel, if someone knows what they're doing, you'll feel three punches to your chest, three thumps. That's it. And it's over. That's all it takes. And within seconds, you won't realize what happened until you fall down to your knees and realize you're bleeding out. He said, you'd be dead in 45 seconds and won't even know it. And I'll never forget him saying that. I'm paraphrasing what he said on the program, but that is what he said on the show. And that's what scares me about knives, the fact that they can be used so quickly, so viciously, and they are such a vicious weapon. Go ahead, and then we'll move on.
No, most as a cop, you interview people that were stabbed or cut or whatever, and the vast majority of the victims they'll say things like, I thought he punched me, or I didn't see the knife, or I didn't realize I was cut until I looked down and there was blood coming out of my arm or my leg or what have you. And that's very true. You know, most people that are stabbed don't think they're being stabbed. They think they're being punched until there's a hole in them and they start leaking. So part of that is don't let people within touching distance of you, but
right.
That's a whole other topic of discussion about how do we keep people out of touching distance and so on and so forth. But training, to alleviate whether you're nervous about carrying a gun or whether you're nervous about carrying a knife or whether you feel like your skills are inadequate. So a lot of people won't carry anything because, psychologically they feel like their skills aren't up to par. So rather than, do something that they feel uncomfortable with, they just won't do it. And, as somebody that's been doing professional training for going on three decades now, I can tell you that really that is the first step towards proficiency is getting to that point where you realize, okay, I don't know as much as I thought I knew, and I want to correct that.
That's always the case, though. That's always the case. We never know as much as we think we know. That's why ongoing training, repetitive, is so important. Shooting is a perishable skill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like riding a bicycle. You can get on that bike and learn how to ride it when you're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, whatever age you were. You can get on a bike 20 years later and ride that bike, and it's going to be second nature to you as a human being. Shooting is not that way.
You look like a goober if you haven't run it. If you haven't ridden it in 20 years, you look like a goober, but you're not going to die. And the thing is, with the the margin of error is a lot slimmer when we're talking about using firearms to save our lives.
Do you look like a goober because of those goofy helmets they make people wear today that we didn't have to worry about when we were kids and we survived?
Yeah, jumping over houses and stuff. Now I appreciate a good bump guard when I'm going in and out of vehicles because there's nothing that I detest more than smacking my head in an armored hatch when I'm coming out. But then again, that's another topic too.
That is another topic. Hey, law enforcement, let me take you down a road we've kind of driven down over the last few days since I had Alexander Rubian from New Jersey Second Amendment Society, and Rob Pincus on the program last week to talk about an incident that happened to him. I'll just give you the crib note version. Alexander was driving from New Jersey to Florida, got pulled over in South Carolina, and was asked, and he was doing 85 and a 70, and that's the whole, you know, how do you keep people away from you type thing. Well, if you want the cop to stay away from you, don't go 85 and a 70 in South Carolina on Interstate 95. That's the first thing you can do to avoid that situation. But suffice to say, he was pulled over, admitted he was speeding to us. But he wouldn't admit anything to the cop, wouldn't answer any questions, was asked if there was a weapon in the vehicle, refused to answer, said, I'm not answering any questions. He was promptly removed from the vehicle. He was placed in handcuffs for officer safety and his safety and spent the next 20 minutes on the side of the highway. Rob's response to that was, it's a traffic stop, bro. You weren't violating any laws. Your gun in your car was legal. Answer the questions and get out of there. The situation you put yourself in found you handcuffed on the side of the road, and that's not what I'm going to recommend happen to anybody. And, of course, Rob has years of law enforcement experience, as you do. What's your recommendation in a situation like that?
Oh, yeah, that's just being a rockhead. And the fact of the matter is like, if you're a citizen, like an average Joe, unless you are in New Jersey or Massachusetts or one of the communist enclaves of the United States, when you're stopped by a police officer, you should, you know, be okay. The fact of the matter is he's out doing a job that he's been paid to do. And if he's a state trooper, he's out there and he's collecting revenue for the state. All my state trooper friends are jumping up and down screaming at the radio like that. Yes, you are. You know you are. Don't argue with me. But my point is this.
Don't give it
first
away.
Of all, he was wrong in the first place. You know what? I was a cop. And when I had a badge and when I was an off-duty cop, I still didn't speed. And I don't speed now because it's just dumb. Why attract that attention to yourself? But the whole I hereby refuse to talk to you thing, let me tell you that from a cop's perspective, when I stop somebody, I don't want them to be under suspension. I don't want them to have warrants. I don't want them to be drunk. I want them to be Joe Citizen, and I want to walk up and say, hey, the reason I stopped you is because you're going 85 and a 70. I need to see your ID, blah, blah, blah. I want to run you. I want to get everything done, and I want to move on with my life. That's what I want to do. Now, if I walk up and your first response is, what? Or I hereby, you know, that you pull out a card and you show me I refuse to speak to you. I'm like, okay, douche. So this is what's going to happen. Because my stop is justifiable. You know, I can stand up in front of a judge and I can give him probable cause for my stop. What's your probable cause for me for not talking to me, or what's your reason for not talking to me?
All right, now we're going to take a break. I want to stop it right there for a reason. When we come back from the break, I'll give you the reason he said that. And again, that's something we'll move on. I want to get your professional, long. I mean, this, you know, I'm talking with Paul Markle, student, a founder of Student of the Gun. A man who's done this for decades, dedicated his life to this, and your perspective from law enforcement is important, and I'm getting everybody's perspective this week on it, because it's a fascinating conversation, and it's a question I get all the time. Can you talk about this on the radio? The answer is yes. It is a fascinating conversation. When we come back, I'll explain to Paul why Alexander did what he did, and we'll get that response. Then we'll move on back after this.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Indeed you are. USCCAOnAir.com. USCCAOnAir.com. I get so much email, I can't keep up with it. I'll make this quick. But I want to ask you this question. How much is peace of mind worth to you? And I'm getting responses to that. How much is peace of mind worth to you? If you want to talk to me about it, mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. If you head over there right now, you have 13 days, 7 hours, 24 minutes, and 20 seconds from right now to get complete peace of mind in an unpredictable world. You can have coverage, something for every budget. Silver, $250,000 in civil suit, up to $300,000 in protection. Gold, $500,000 in civil suit, civil defense, civil suit damage, civil suit defense, and firearm theft protection, up to $575,000 total. And platinum, which is what I have, up to $1.125 million total in protection for $30 a month. My wife has it. Pay for both of them. Peace of mind. You can pay as little as $13 a month or one annual fee of $147, one payment, to have peace of mind for the silver. $247 in a single payment or $22 a month for gold, or $347 and $30 a month for the platinum, which again is what I have. If you head over there in these 13 days that are left, really simple, because you're also going to get some fun stuff. You're also going to get a $289.64 value package up to, if all you do is activate your self-defense shield coverage today. It's all there for you, USCCAOnAir.com. Head over there and check it out and find out for yourself. But again, I ask you, what is peace of mind worth? If you carry a firearm with you, peace of mind is critical. All right? Be careful out there. Paul Markle, welcome back to the program, my brother. All right, here's the deal. Hey. We'll close out this thing. Well, let's go back to the Alexander Rubian, New Jersey Second Amendment Society, getting pulled over, refusing to talk to the cops, winding up in handcuffs before finally being let go after explaining why he did what he did. And that garnered the sympathy from the South Carolina trooper, because Alexander hails from one of the states you mentioned. Of course, he lives in New Jersey, where answering those questions can get him arrested. And as we heard yesterday on the program from Mike Paworski from the Arms Room, also former law enforcement, wife, currently active duty law enforcement, father, recently lost his father, but retired police chief for many, many years, family and law enforcement. The fact of the matter is that, and I don't want to put to wind up taking some of your thunder away, because I think you're going to wind up saying the same thing that Mike did. But the fact of the matter is that he could find himself in a tremendous amount of trouble, okay, for simply responding the way he should respond in virtually any other state. And as Mike reminded us yesterday, cops in those areas are trained from the time they're in the academy, from throughout their entire career, that guns are bad, guns are going away, whoever has a gun is going away in a state like New Jersey. That's what's going to happen. So I understand why Alexander did it, but the mistake he made was by not realizing, hey, I'm in South Carolina, not New Jersey. Is that a fair statement?
Well, yeah, and what you bring up right there is actually a fantastic point. You know, people who are in these slave states and they constantly, you know, I use the term slave state all the time, and it makes people who live in slave states uncomfortable. And so because it makes them uncomfortable, they lash out at me. Like, I'm not the one limiting you to a 10-round magazine and no flash hider and blah, 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 blah. That you're getting mad at the wrong person. But it's a translated mental attitude, which is probably the biggest problem that we have with people from California. Is people from California, they leave California and they go to Prescott, Arizona, or they go to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or they go to someplace beautiful in Colorado or whatever. They go there and they show up. They're like, well, I left California because of taxation, and I left California because of blah, 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 and so on and so forth. But they take this translated mental attitude with them rather than going to the state and saying, okay, I need to flush all this crap out of my head and start living like a free man, you know, like a citizen, like the boss. They still have this mental attitude that they're the persecuted victim. And what you said right there is very, very illustrative. You've got somebody who lives in fear of the anti-gun Gestapo day in and day out in New Jersey, and then they go somewhere else and they encounter a police officer or an agent of the state, and they equate the exact same thing. And that's very common with the human animal, is to, you know, to translate that. But that is why slave states are so dangerous, and that's why it's so dangerous to acquiesce, such as, you know, all this nonsense of making quote unquote Massachusetts legal firearms or California legal, or, you know, modifying and changing things to you know, seek the approval of the slave master. What that does is it puts you in just a horrible mental position, and is exactly what you just described right there.
Well, it's exactly what Alexander faced, and frankly, I don't know, is it acquiescing by doing what he did in South Carolina? I don't know. It's understandable to me why he did what he did. There were valuable. The fun part about the conversation overall was the fact that we could have it as like-minded individuals civilly and talk about it openly. And there are passionate disagreements on both sides, as you know. When you talk about pro-gun individuals, like, I got a brutal email from somebody who just called me I read it. I had to, you know, clean a few parts of it up. But I willfully read it because the man was too much of a coward to sign his name. But he was coming after me big time because Alexander was doing the right thing, and we're just, you know, bowing to the state, and I have to get permits, and, you know, I'm a bad guy for espousing that everybody have a permit. No, I'm trying to get people to realize they have to follow the law. the fact that we have a permit system, or the fact that Alexander can't do what he wants to do in his own free state or his own state because he's not free, all these things, it's understandable to me why people do what they do. Now, Florida, for example, you brought up a great point as well. Let me take Florida. You talk about people from California exporting their garbage. We're seeing it manifest itself in the state of Florida now in big-time ways. You've got New York attitude all over South Florida, and it's doing tremendous damage because they're bringing that New York state of mind, if you will, regarding firearms with them to the state, and it's changing the demographic of the state. How dangerous is that?
It's extremely dangerous, and it's sad, and it's, you know, I spend in just ridiculous amounts of time. You know, Mark, the fact is, you know, I would rather not have to have these conversations. I would rather get on the radio with you and talk about my newest favorite rifle or my newest favorite pistol or calibers or, you know, I just, you know, went out and did this and that. But the fact of the matter is when it comes to firearms, if you don't view a firearm first and foremost as an instrument of liberty, you're wrong and you're going to lose it, because any other way of thinking about a gun is it's a sporting implement, it's a collector's item, it's whatever. The only way that you can keep a hold of a gun as a citizen, as a defensive tool, is if it's first an instrument of liberty. And if it's not, if it's, well, I like to play three gun, or I like to hunt, or I like to collect, or, you know, whatever, all of those things can and will be regulated. And there is nothing in the Constitution that says, oh, if you want to be a gun collector, or if you want to be a hunter, or if you want to participate in sporting activities or hobbies, then it's okay. That's how we get in the position that we're in. Because people in New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts and California and so forth, they don't view guns as instruments of liberty.
And, you know, that's not necessarily their fault. I'm going to give them a little bit of a break here. We're getting ready to take a break. And when we come back, I do want to talk about some guns and some calibers and some fun stuff. Here's the thing. It's understandable to a certain extent. A lot of these folks who were born and raised in these areas know nothing but that. They've been taught that from day one. So it's difficult to get them out of that mindset. That's why people like Alexander have such a fight on their hands. God bless him for being there and doing what he's doing up there in the state of New Jersey. He's making great headway. But he's got to be, he has to have a certain attitude in order to do it. And sometimes it's hard to break away from that attitude when you leave that area. But valuable lessons learned. Paul Markle, more when we return.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, The media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
Back in these Armed American Radio Daily Defense studios with you. How the heck are you? Final segment of the day. I'm talking with Paul Markle, student of the gun. Hey, Paul, are you afraid of a 9mm for defensive use, particularly if it's in a single stack G43, Glock 43, for example, with 6+1 rounds, if you add the plus one? Or are you okay with 6 rounds, 1 in the pipe and 5 in the tube? Are you okay with that?
Are you offering me a gun? Because I'll give you my FFL info and you can ship it right over.
Okay, so that means you're comfortable with that. What should we be concerned with? You know, and I ask that because I get a lot of emails from folks who want to carry as much ammo as they can. I completely understand that. But we can overdo that, too, to a certain extent, can't we? Because right now I can hear the person say, no, you can't have too much ammo.
On fire, you know, if you fall off a bridge or you know, into a river and then you catch on fire, then you can say I have too much ammo on me. No, but seriously, that question is an excellent one. People will ask it all the time. They'll say, well, I carry a X, right? I carry a blankety blank, and I carry 2 spare magazines or 3 spare magazines, or how many spare magazines is enough? And I say, what do you carry for your second gun? And they say, what? I don't. I have, like, well, I got an idea. Go ahead and get a G43 or a G42 and weigh it on a scale, and then weigh 1 full magazine of ammunition for your preferred carry gun. I bet you they're within a couple of ounces of each other. So when people ask me, what do I carry for spare ammunition? I say, well, my spare ammunition has its own launching device. My friend Jay Gibson says that he carries a reload with a gun wrapped around it. So
well, now you're talking about the New York reload, right? You're talking about a New York reload.
Now, it's also when I went to the police academy, we were, my senior instructor, he said, look, anything that's so critical that you can't do without, he said, you should have 2 of, whether it's comm gear, flashlights, or guns. He said, if it's a critical piece of gear that you would not step out of the car without, he said, that's why we have a radio in the car and on our body. That's why we have a flashlight in the car and on our body. That's why we have a gun in our holster and another one secreted somewhere else on us. Because you know, the whole, you know, one is none and two is one kind of a thing. But there's, you know, there's, I mean, I've written a retarded number of articles about why it's a good idea to carry more than one gun. But, yeah, that's to your question about how much spare ammo should you carry. I would say my spare ammo has its own launching device.
All right, so that's the backup gun for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never.
My primary, I would just carry a second gun.
Well, I carry a Glock 17 on a regular basis, as you know. And at the most, I carry with me as far as spare ammo is concerned is two magazines, two extra magazines. That's 51 rounds of ammunition. That's 17 per magazine. And I also always have a North American Arms with me. And that is my backup. I always carry that little NAA, particularly that little Sidewinder. Ever since I got the Sidewinder, I just love that thing. And that's a great little backup gun. It's also great around the house when I'm down in the holler down by the creek at AAR Ranch where there are snakes, and I have to be working down there, and I got some nice little snake shot in there too, which I've had to pop off a couple times. So that's always fun to have. Okay, so but the Glock 43 six rounds doesn't bother you. Better to have that than not have it, right? Is that a fair statement?
Oh, yeah.
Very popular handgun, of course, one of the more popular handguns out there. That and the 19 got 15 rounds in it. Of course, 15 plus 1 versus 6 plus 1. But nonetheless, two magazines, you know, you're looking at 13 rounds of ammunition, 9mm in that Glock 43 with a spare magazine. Nothing wrong with that, is there?
No, there's not.
Okay. All right, student of the gun, what do you have happening over there right now? We've got about 4 minutes left in the show. What's going on?
All right, well, good. Thanks for asking me. You know, ever since we moved to Wyoming, one of our goals was to be able to do something that we weren't able to do in Biloxi, down in southern Mississippi, and that is to do long-range rifle training. You know, the range that we had there was fantastic, but really 200 yards was about the max that we could push a shot. And, you know, that's fine, but, if you have a quality rifle, the fact is 100 and 200 yards is really just getting started for that gun.
Right.
So something that that Jared and I have been working very diligently on for the last month or so is to work with an outfitter's company up here called Spur Ranch and the Spur Outfitters, and they have a 1,000 yard rifle range and they have a 50 yard pistol range and so on and so forth. So, but in addition to that, they have two very nice mountain lodges, and they have staff that cook breakfast and lunch and dinner and all that stuff. So what we're doing is we're putting together packages. We're going to do a package for a precision rifle training class. Not only will you get to come out here and shoot long range precision, but we're going to put you up in a mountain lodge next to a river, you know, at the foot of a mountain with this beautiful fresh air. And there's going to be a cook that's going to come in and fix you dinner and make sure you have lunch and breakfast. And we're pretty excited about it. It's something that we weren't able to do down there, but I believe Jared's plan is to release the dates and the sign up this weekend. And I know you've got people right now. They're like, hey, I'm interested in that. Well,
I'm interested. And you know, you need to add a little caveat to that too, because when I'm out there, everybody has to call me Josie.
Okay, you do whatever you want.
I say, because it's so beautiful out there. There have been, you know, you go back to some of the old westerns that have been filmed out there, and the scenery is so beautiful. And I got
this
the theater of the
country.
Mind. I paint that picture. It is rifle country. It's so beautiful where you are. Now, let's talk weather here, okay? At what time of the year is ideal to be doing this, and will you be doing it all year? Because it gets cold up there in Wyoming.
Well, yeah, it does. And this is going to be our first season, so we're looking at right now the initial class is going to be in July, and so yeah, it probably I can pretty much guarantee you that it won't have snow. I'm pretty much guarantee you. Like I said, like we're working with this company up here. They're some really good people, and they're just trying to, you know, spread the word about what's available. And the big question is how many of you folks out there in America want to come up to Free America up into the mountains and shoot rifles? And, you know, if it's 50 or 100 or whatever, we'll work to accommodate people. But step number one is as simple as this. Go to studentofthegun.com. How simple
student
is that?
Studentofthegun.com. That's as simple as not speeding.
Exactly. And,
okay.
You know, if you want to listen to the radio show, you want to watch the TV show, you want to read the articles, whatever, that's a a good place to do
it. Yeah, everything is there. Let's make that point. Everything is at Student of the Gun. You can buy everything there. You can read everything there. You can see everything there. You can peruse and browse everything there. You can learn everything there. You can listen to everything there. Studentofthegun.com. Paul, it's always a blast to talk to you. You guys are having a good time in Wyoming, I hope.
Oh, yeah. You see the picture that I sent you this morning?
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. I saw the picture you sent last night, too. It's wonderful. That's what prompted me to get you on here. I've been meaning to do that because we talked to you right after you got out there, and I want to spend some more time with you as we move down, you know, as we move through the summer, because I know you're going to have a lot of fantastic stuff coming out. You know, and boy, I'll tell you, I know the work that you do, the TV work that you do, and the video work that you do is, with that backdrop you've got, is going to be wonderful. Okay, we've got 60 seconds before I have to cut out of here today, Paul. Did you want to say anything about Bob Owens, the passing of Bob Owens at BearingArms.com? I've asked everybody and I haven't had a chance to talk to you yet.
Well, the thing is, I knew who Bob was. I recognized his face at shots and NRAs, but I wasn't personally acquainted with him, so whatever I say would just be what any other stranger would say. So, yeah, I'm not going to – I don't want to be cliche about that.
No, that's it's, okay. It's always, I completely
always,
understand.
You know, it's
I respect
always sad
that.
When someone passes under you know, difficult, bad circumstances. You know, we all want to grow up and, you know, die when we're 88 years old in our bed surrounded by our grandchildren, but it doesn't always happen. So, I did not know Bob personally, so I don't really feel like I can speak on it.
I respect that. Paul Markle, Student of the Gun, thank you, brother, for everything that you do. Thank you for joining us here on the radio program today. Looking forward to talking to you more about that long-range rifle. And, yeah, that's just a really good excuse for me to get out there because we also air in Wyoming. Paul Markle, studentofthegun.com. I hope you enjoyed the program today. Tomorrow we're going to get up and do it all over again because we can. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense will continue. Then we'll close out the week and head into and another great monster show lining up for you. That one's still coming together. In the meantime, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. And I'll see you on the radio.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out IRFnews.com. That's IRFnews.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.